Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. Our blessings flow through the confidence we place in the Lord Jesus Christ, through our use of the gift of faith that he has given us. And through obedience to the Lord's commands, we become his friend. Giving us what we desire most is no problem for the Lord. He wills to do it, if only we'll place our trust in him. In preparation for your study of the Word of God, it's a time to make a voluntary shift in your mindset. You can ask yourself a very simple question. What thought pattern am I allowing to influence me right now? Is your soul tuned to KCOS, the cosmic system of thought, or is your soul tuned to WGOD, the divine system of thought? This request for a mental shift gives you the opportunity to make an evaluation and to tune your soul to the reception of biblical thought, which the Bible refers to as renewing, as God prepares you to be able to hear the teaching of the Word of God. Through renewing, God transforms us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, "We believers in Christ all with unveiled face given to us by God, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from the ultimate source of glory to reflected glory, just as from the agency of the Lord, God the Holy Spirit." So right now is the time for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit, who leads us into all the truth, to prepare you in humility to receive the word implanted which is able to save your souls. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1 says, "Does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice?" Will we choose to be receptive here to wisdom's call? Learning the mind of Christ, the inerrant canon of Scripture, the Word of God, through the direction of our mentor and teacher, God the Holy Spirit. As God prepares you for renewing, let's hear June Murphy worship our Lord in song as you fix the eyes of your soul on the author and perfecter of your faith, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The opening song is Redeemer.
I'm not afraid to
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Show us how to experience the peace you have given us, the contentment that surpassed comprehension, as an established fact in our souls rather than as a fleeting reality. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Welcome to Barah Ministries. My name is Pastor Rory Clark, and you're listening to Lesson 425 of the Creator versus Creature Conflict series. Welcome to a ministry designed for serious students of the Word of God. Today's study, the Creator's will is that you have peace. The Creator's will is that you have peace. That put a smile on your face, doesn't it? He wants us to have peace. Please stand. In gratitude for all who defend our freedom, and especially in gratitude for military victory from our frontline military personnel, and in honor of law enforcement officers all over the world, especially those in our own congregation, we recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. A few announcements. Prayers, please, for Rick Kabrick of Grace Bible Church. Rick, he is our brother in Christ, and he had a heart attack last week. Rick runs the internet ministry at Grace Bible Church and is a foundational member of that ministry. But Rick is also one of the people that helped us at Barah Ministries to get off the ground and onto the internet when we were just in the fledgling stages of this ministry. I love him, I respect him, I value him, and I ask you to join me in prayer for him and for his family, his wife Nita, his children Jovan, Kevin, Susan, and Keith. Barah Ministries is behind you, Rick. Funny thing happened, so I have not talked to Rick personally, but I have gotten stories from people who have talked to him and who know him, and that. So I think one of his arteries was about 95% occluded, and so they put a stent in it. But there was a piece of plaque that was cutting off the artery, and the doctor said, the damnedest thing, when I went in and looked at it, and your heart had grown two veins around the blockage. Wonder why that happened. So... I think it's evolution. Yeah, that's what I think. I think it's evolution. Where is this church? This is Grace Bible Church is Pastor Robert McLaughlin's church in Somerset, Massachusetts. So I don't know. I've been trying to get on the internet for the past couple of days to get into Grace Bible Church, and I can't. So I think, I mean, that's how important Rick is to that ministry. So he's a great guy. He's a funny guy. And we hope he gets well really quickly. So please join me in prayer that the right medical team surrounds him and that he gets exactly the care that he needs. Prayers also for the Los Angeles Police Department. Our prayers go out for the safety of the Los Angeles Police Department as they hunt for an ex-LAPD officer who is military trained, who is alleged to be murdering people. We pray especially for the safety of the members of Barah Ministries who are part of that police force. And so please keep that in your prayers. Prayers also for Tony LaGrasso, who is back to work part-time. Yeah, and he got the port taken out of his chest this week as well. And so he's starting to feel normal from what I understand. You remember that Tony is the guy who is recovering from bone marrow cancer. And his recovery is one foot in front of the other, but he is, you know, he had those couple of pieces of good news this week. And that has to be great news for his psyche, although I don't know why he would want to go back to work. So that's just me. Yeah. That's real cool.
Again, so we'll pray this one lasts longer.
Yeah, good. So Rick Thomas, just know that people here at Barah Ministries are praying for you as well. And he's on his way home, you said? So that's awesome. And in remission. Mark your calendars. The next Lord's Supper celebration is March 3rd. We're going to celebrate the first day of the month next month because we won't be here on the 10th. So just remember that. And we'll be celebrating at the temporary location that we go to. Broad Ministries radio program, KXXT, 1010 AM, Phoenix, Fridays, 4:30 to 5. Rebroadcast at myfamilyvaluesradio.net under click to listen, the letter G. And the program is called God Cares for You. And the program that aired this week is God Wants You to Live an Obedient Life, so be sure to give it a listen. But next week's program, I think you will really want to listen to, which is God Makes Himself Visible. And there's some great things in that lesson about relationships, so we'll talk to you about that again next week. The temporary change of location is March 3rd at Hilton Chandler in Chandler, Arizona. And that'll be up on the website shortly so that it can be a good reminder to you to go there. Homecoming for the non-resident congregation is June 15th and 16th. And we want to set up, Jamie, we want to set up a registration so we'll know how many people are coming so we know what the location size is that we're going to need. We need someone to step forward and coordinate the event. And Mandy stepped forward and showed some interest. So she's going to be doing that with another person, and so we'll have details of that very soon. Also mark your calendars, the Coeur d'Alene, Idaho Bible Conference tentative date is August 9th. And we need someone to step forward to coordinate this event as well, and it would be good if it wasn't the usual suspects. These are times when you can step forward and start to do some work that will help you learn about your spiritual gift. Happy birthday to Ben Johnston, whose birthday is February 11th. Happy birthday to Jamie Mastrocola, whose birthday is February 14th. Mark your calendars. No Bible study March 10th, April 21st, June 30th, December 8th, and December 29th. Now let's take the offering. Let's welcome up Deacon Caleb Alburn.
Thank you for that. I can have you just play background music while I talk up here. No problem. God provides Bible doctrine through His grace, and we hope to reflect His grace. Therefore, Barah Ministries is a grace ministry and functions entirely on generous donations. There is no charge for any Bible doctrine at BarahMinistries.com. Our website allows anyone anywhere to receive the Word of God free of charge. Gratitude for the Word of God inspires believers to give of their time, talent, and treasure. So, quick side note before I actually get started. A while back, I was studying before, and then, you know, I go back and I look at it on a Saturday, and I'm reading over what I wrote, and I'm like, no, I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that at all. So I call Pastor Rory, and he goes, no, no, no. That's when you say it. So I'm like, okay. So that's just a prequel into what's about to be coming. Yeah, it's probably a better word. It's more of a warning. Something I found out this week, at least, is I just need to stop talking to people. I need to stop having conversations with people that I work with and with people outside of my work. I just need to stop having the conversations that I'm having. People walk around so confidently confused. They are so confident in their own ignorance that they will proudly tell you what they believe, even though they've never done a bit of research to back it up. Well, as you guys probably found out by now, anything that happens in my life throughout the week, I just end up spewing it out on you guys. So I'll let you know about some of the comments that I heard this week. A Christian told me that I need to stop cussing because I'm not going to have a blessed life if I continue to cuss. Another Christian told me that Jesus wasn't perfect, but still believed that the only way to get to heaven was to believe in Jesus. A Mormon told me that Mormons believe that Jesus Christ is God. That's just a pure lie. An atheist told me that he hates agnostics. He then added that they need to pick a side. Either you believe in God or you don't. And he ended with proclaiming his own unbelief.
I like that guy.
Yeah, no, I like him too. He made his own decision, and he knows it. Now, luckily for you guys, that's just a sample. I'm not going to go into the conversations that these comments sparked. I just bring this up because we already know that Satan deceives the whole world, right? But he's done one even better. Not only does he have all of us here deceived in various parts of our own lives, he has us confidently deceived. And even more, here's where it really hits home. Here's actually where it hurts, is he has us confidently deceived about things that we have never even researched. And yet, we go out and we proclaim these things to be true. I don't think it's fair for us to expect other people to challenge what they've been taught if we ourselves don't do it at all. One tactic that Satan uses to deceive us is to overcomplicate God, like we already know in 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I am afraid that just as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray by the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. I understand that we can all be deceived. This is why I'm thankful for what God is doing in Barah Ministries. God has taught us to never stop learning his word. And more than that, God has taught us to apply his word into a lost and dying world. God has taught us not to selfishly keep him to ourselves, but to share him to everyone that we come in contact with. So with that, I want to thank everyone who contributes to Barah Ministries, because it's your support that makes all of this possible. So thank you, and please remember to give with the motivation and suggestion of Scripture, that each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver.
Welcome back. So, Deacon Caleb, that message gave me goosebumps, just so you know. The guy I like the best is the guy who is an atheist who hates agnostics, because I hate agnostics too. I don't like people who are confused. I think God hates agnostics too. And Revelation, no, he really doesn't. But. He's unconditional. It just trashed the previous two lessons. But what it says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, when the Lord is talking to the church at Laodicea, he says, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. It was a great passage because I think Laodicea was between two places, the hot and the cold place, and the water, when it got to them, was lukewarm in their water supply. And they understood perfectly what it meant to drink that lukewarm water and want to vomit it out of your mouth. So, you know, God bless the atheists who are clear in their position and who are not clear in their position but trying to put a pretty dress on and pretend like they're not. So today's study, the Creator's will is that you have peace. The Creator's will is that you have peace. So this is the Lord's Supper, and in preparation for the Lord's Supper, which is a ritual reenactment of a portion of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Passover celebration, we go to a table of fellowship designed by God for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ by choice. We are in union with him by a single act because of the gift of free will that is given to us by God. And the Lord's Supper is a chance for us to remember, if only for a moment, the wonderful, amazing, magnificent, and beyond belief things that the Lord Jesus Christ did for all mankind at the cross. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we look back to the cross. If the Lord Jesus Christ were looking at you as a believer in Christ from the cross right now, if you were standing at the base of the cross, if you were at his feet looking up at him, and if he were looking down on you, knowing who you are and the depravity of it and all that you have done in your life and the depravity of it, what do you think would be the expression on the Lord's face as he looks at you personally? I can tell you, he would be smiling. No matter what you've done in the past, no matter what you're doing now, and no matter what you do in the future, he has cared for it through his work at the cross. And now, because you believe in him, you have become his possession, and he is totally pleased with you. In John chapter 3, verse 16, we learn that God the Father loved the cosmos. John 3:16 says, God the Father so loved the world. Realize who that's talking about, the cosmos. He's not talking about believers here. God the Father love the world, the cosmos, so much that he gave his uniquely born son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever believes in him will never perish, but have the Zoe life, the eternal life, right that moment. See, God the Father loves the cosmos. God the Father loves the world, even though the Bible makes it clear that the cosmos is God's enemy. John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19 say, if the cosmos hates you, first class condition if in the Greek, if and it's true. If the cosmos hates you, believers in Christ, and it does, you know that it has hated me, the Lord Jesus Christ, before it hated you. See, if you were of the world, if you were of the cosmos, second class condition if in the Greek, if and it's false, if and it's not true. If you were of the world, but you aren't, the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but because I chose you by means of election to come out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. You too, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, are an enemy of the cosmos. God the Father loves his enemies. God loves the cosmos, and he asks us to be of the same mind as he is in that regard. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Here's what it says. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Verse 44. But I, the Lord Jesus Christ, say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Matthew 5, 45. So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he, God the Father, who loves the cosmos so much, causes his Son to rise on the evil and the good. And he sends rain on the righteous, believers in Christ, and on the unrighteous, unbelievers. Matthew 5, 46. For if you love those who love you, first class condition if in the Greek, if and you do. If you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And of course, we know that tax collectors were among the most despicable of characters. Matthew 5, 47. If you greet only your brothers, and of course you do, first class condition if and it's true, what more are you doing than others? Don't even unbelievers, Gentiles, do the same? Matthew 5, 48. Therefore, you are to be perfect, an exact reflection of the attitude of your God, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. We are reflecting the glory and the essence of God in biblical Christianity when we are able to agree with God in the matter of our enemies. And I think we seldom think of God the Father when we think of the cross. Yet his initiative to send his Son to die for his enemies deserves every bit of consideration when we look back at the cross. The love that God the Father displayed in sacrificing his Son is mind-boggling. Following God's requests, we keep on celebrating Christ on a regular basis. We eat to remember who he is, his person. We drink to remember the sacrifice that he made on our behalf at the cross, his work, and we are thankful. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24 say this, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is and keeps on being my body, which is broken for you. Keep on doing this, and do it in the purpose of remembering me. When we eat the bread during the Lord's Supper celebration, we remember the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please enjoy the element. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25 says this, in the same way, Jesus Christ took the cup representing his death on the cross also after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in the sphere of my blood, in substitutionary spiritual death. Keep on doing this, and as often as you drink it, do it for the purpose of remembering me. When we drink this cup, we remember the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please enjoy the element. The Lord's Supper celebration is called Eucharisteo, the Eucharist, a celebration of gratitude. So let's reflect on the Lord Jesus Christ and on all that has been done by means of his person and his work for our benefit. The Lord's Supper song is Give Thanks.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what for us. And
Welcome back. Welcome back. You through? You through socializing? Welcome back. This is church. We ain't here to make friends. We're here to make rewards in heaven or something. What'd you say? If God is for us, and he is, it was, oh, I cheated. Oh, so I cheated you out of a minute break, right? Do you know other pastors don't give breaks, Mike? All right, welcome back. So turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans, no man. That's Ukrainian. No man. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I forgot it wasn't Spanish.
No, that's not. Oh, come on. I got a lot of accents. That's my Ukrainian accent. Yeah, I have a Japanese accent. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Here's what it says. Therefore, having been justified. What does it mean to be justified? It means to be declared absolutely righteous in the past. By means of faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, we believers in Christ have irene, peace, with God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's an amazing verse. You know, Romans is an amazing book. Therefore, having been justified, you should get goosebumps when you hear that as a believer in Christ. You are justified. You have been declared righteous before God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and before the Lord Jesus Christ. Declared absolutely righteous in the past by means of your faith alone and the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And because of that, we have peace with God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. So my question to open this was, do you have peace with God? Your answer should have been yes. The Bible says that believers in Christ have peace with God. And so when we look back at the cross, we look back into the past, we must see God's peace in the midst of suffering with the eyes of our souls. Your sin nature, which was imputed to you at the moment of physical birth, made you an enemy of God. That's not your fault, but at physical birth, that is your genetic circumstance. And because you have a sin nature, it does not mean that you have to sin. You are able not to sin by choice, but we usually make a different choice. We sin. At the moment of salvation, though, God gives us something that he will never change his mind about. Absolute righteousness, plus R. And when we accept his salvation, we have, at that moment, his righteousness. And when we have his righteousness, we have peace. And what does that mean exactly? It means that there is no more war between us and God. We are no longer his enemy. God is not holding anything against us. Let me repeat that. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God does not ever, no, not never, hold anything against you. From the moment of salvation forward. And these facts deserve to have meaning in your soul. Hold your places in Romans chapter 5 and look at Romans chapter 8, verse 31. So hold your places in 5. Move forward a little bit to Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, and we'll look at 31 and 32. Here's what it says. What shall we say then? Face to face with all these things. And all these things are the things that happened from Romans 8:28 to Romans 8:30. If God is for us, and he is, who can be against us? See, if you're a believer in Christ, that should be your mantra. Hey, if God is for me, and he is, first class condition if in the Greek, who can be against me? But here's the even better part. He, God the Father, the one who loved you so much when you were his enemy, who did not spare his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ, but delivered him over as a sin substitute for us all, when we were his enemy, all mankind. How will he not also, now that we're believers and that we're in union with the Lord Jesus Christ, freely give us all things? Why do we as believers in Christ ever doubt anything? Why do we pray to the Lord so tentatively? I hope so. I hope you give me up. We don't have to be tentative. So the question I ask you is this. Is that your mental picture of God? When your soul thinks of God, do you think of him as the one who is always smiling at you in adoration? Do you think of him as the one who is on your side no matter what? Do you think of him as the one who is for you? Do you realize that because he is for you, no one can prevail against you? Do you have peace because of these facts? Or has Satan convinced you that all of this is in doubt? Because of the cross, your sins are judged, and thus your sins are forgiven once and for all time, believers. And according to the law of double jeopardy, you can't be tried for the same crime twice. So why do you keep retrying your sins over and over and over again when God doesn't? Keep your places in chapter 5. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Paul loved this expression. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then face to face with these things? Are we to continue persisting under the sovereignty of the sin nature so that grace may increase? Well, okay, so now that we know that God has forgiven our sins, and now that we know that we're forgiven once and for all time, should we who are in the light now go play in the dark? You cheated. You looked ahead. Verse 6. May it never be, which means an idiom in Greek, which means absolutely not. How shall we believers in Christ, who died to the sovereignty of the sin nature at the cross, still live in the sphere of it? How shall the children of the light go play in the dark? Yeah, we do all the time. We go play in the dark. And what happens when we go play in the dark? We get embarrassed. We get disgusted with ourselves because we go play in the dark. We don't belong in the dark. We're children of light. So what do? When we go play in the dark, we obsess about our sins. And when we continue sinning, we don't have peace in our souls. All right? That's the fact. That's your fact. But here's the other fact. God the Father, who loved you so much when you were his enemy, is totally satisfied with you. He is perfectly satisfied with you if you're a believer in Christ. Why is that? Because he's satisfied with the perfect sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on your behalf. And so if you were interviewing God the Father, here's what he would say. What pleases me? My son doing all my will. The Lord Jesus Christ came down to earth, took on the form of true humanity, and for 33 years did all of his Father's will. He said, I came to do the Father's will. And he did all of the Father's will. And that's what God the Father is satisfied with. And because he's satisfied with that, he's satisfied with you because you got his perfect righteousness imputed to you at the moment of salvation. Therefore, you have peace with God the Father, you have peace with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have fellowship with both. No matter how little you believers in Christ know about God, no matter how little you believers in Christ know about the truth of his word, he still loves you unconditionally. So those of you who know that much about God and you're a believer in Christ, if you were standing side by side with somebody who knew everything about Christ, he doesn't love you any less. In fact, he probably loves you more. So, he loves us unconditionally as believers in Christ. He loves us personally as believers in Christ, with all his heart and all his soul, and all his mind, and all his strength. But see, he loves unbelievers the same way. Do you? Do you love unbelievers the same way? No, we don't. We go, oh. Now, we need to entertain those conversations more and more and more, Deacon Caleb, right? I'm proud of you that you are engaging those conversations, and I'm proud of you for the way you're handling them. And we need more of those. Because when you talk back to them, you make a difference. And it can easily, if we allow what they say to dictate, we can easily become closet comatose Christians. Oh, we have it. You don't. Too bad for you. It's going to be hot. It's going to be real hot. No, that's not it. We have to, when we're reflecting the unconditional love of God, we feel the compassion that he feels toward people that he gives and gives and gives and gives to, who will not accept and will not listen to him. See, when we look back at the cross at the Lord's Supper celebration, we see the place where peace was made. We are content. We are at rest when the facts of the Lord Jesus Christ's finished work are established with our permission and our agreement as an established fact in our souls. See, this needs to be an established fact in your soul. And never to be questioned again. This needs to be a coat hanger that you put in your closet, your spiritual closet, and never question it again. You have peace. Irene. God's enemy wants us to think that the Lord Jesus Christ is still making decisions about us. That the plan of God is in flux. That some matters in the plan of God are not settled. That the outcome of divine history is still in doubt because he's a phony, and he's a liar, and he's the father of all lies, and he's confused and arrogant, and he refuses to see the writing on the wall. Well, it may be the outcome of divine history may be in doubt in his soul because he thinks that somehow he's going to trip a perfect God up so that the perfect God makes one bad decision. But it is not in doubt in our souls. When the Lord Jesus Christ said at the cross in John chapter 19, verse 30, tetelestai, it is finished, he meant it. And he meant much more than just salvation is finished in the past with the result that salvation stands finished forever. He meant much more than that. He meant Satan is finished. That any illusions that anyone had of adding to the plan of God is finished. That anything anybody was trying to add to the word of God, finished. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross makes peace a past fact that is a present reality. It is a past fact that is a present reality. What does that mean, example? For example, I am Dorothy Clark's son. That is a past fact. That is a present reality. You are your parents' child. That is a past fact and a present reality. Nick, you're your mom's little boy. I got to help the sister out with that. You're 28, man. Amen? But that's the way moms are. Moms' love is unbelievable. You are God's perfect child. A past fact and a present reality. We rest in this beautiful fact. We must establish that permanent and perfect fact in our souls. Peace, then, is a matter of realization. Peace is a matter of realization. When we realize what has been done for us in the past as an established fact in our soul, we can rest in it. When we are not at peace, we are anxious. Anxiousness is unbelief. Worry is unbelief. It is you rejecting the truth of God's word. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 6, says this. Be anxious for nothing, Translation, stop worrying about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, believers. What do you want? Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, Philippians 4:7, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will garrison your heart and your mind, the right lobe of your soul and the left of your soul, because you're in union with Christ Jesus. And the motto of Northwestern University, Quacumque sunt vera in the Latin, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, believers in Christ, whatsoever things are true, quacumque sunt vera, let your mind dwell on these things. Let your mind dwell on whatever is honorable. Let your mind dwell on whatever is right. Let your mind dwell on whatever is pure. Let your mind dwell on whatever is lovely. Let your mind dwell on whatever is of good repute. And if there is any excellence, any virtue, and there is, first class condition if, and if there is anything worthy of praise, and there is, first class condition if, let your mind dwell on these things. What does that mean exactly? How often are we just manufacturing in our mind mental instability? How often are we manufacturing in our minds mental slavery? How often are we manufacturing in our minds the thought that we are not going to be the star in our own movie? You know, maybe you lost a job, and now you're all worried. Oh, man, it's like, am I ever going to get another job again? Yeah, you are, because you had a job before you got the one you lost. And you had that one and you lost it, and you're going to have another one. You're not done. But in that moment where you've lost the job and you don't have the next one, what's it going to be like? What do you want it to be like? What do you want it to be like? What do you want? Because you could be the star in your own movie. Isn't it true that most of the time the reason that we don't get what we want is because we don't ax? Amen? We don't ax. Ask. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1 again. I don't think I gave you verse 9 in Philippians, though. Here's Philippians 4:9. The things which you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And the God of peace will be with you. Now Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, being declared absolutely righteous, we, believers in Christ, have irene, peace, with God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, and our union with him. And that's amazing. Let's close with when you suffer.
If the world comes to hate you, remember it hated me first. I came to seek and save the lost, not to condemn or hurt. If you are persecuted, do not consider it strange. Remember what I've done. Perspective you can gain when you suffer for my name, consider it an honor. Do not complain, just remember what I've done on the cross. You can pick up your when you stand in the truth of God.
I suffered with you, girl. I suffered with you when you suffer. Excellent. Thank you. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because God considers your problems to be his responsibility. He cares for you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for loving us when we were your enemies. And thank you for all the times that as believers we turn away from you. Thanks for never turning away from us. Thanks for holding us in your embrace and leading us back to the road of your plan for our lives, which you planned for us a billion years ago. Thanks for never having there having been a time in divine history when you didn't have us personally in mind by name. And I pray that all who are at the other end of this message start to open their hearts to the truth and start to realize just how amazing you are and just how deeply your love goes for your creatures. And that we may lay aside the lies from the kingdom of darkness that distort the picture of you. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your person, your thinking, your work, your reputation, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.